And so I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 28 this morning. Matthew 28, verse 1. And all the Gospels record the resurrection Sunday morning. But as you know, if you've been attending this church for any length of time, Matthew is my favorite book in the entire Bible. And so if I get my choice, I'm going to read the version from Matthew. So Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, this is what is recorded there. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. I want to stop right there and say that you should underline that, highlight that word if you can, or if you have to do the whole scripture, do it. But it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake. That's very important. That's going to mean something to you here in just a few moments, if it hasn't already. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. As they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him and grasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." I want to, yeah, amen. Give the Lord praise this morning. He's alive, amen. Jesus is alive. I want to just point out to you today that from this point on in Scripture, from this point on to Jesus' ascension to heaven, Jesus appeared many times to his disciples and to over 500 other followers. Multiple times he would appear to them. Jesus walked with the two on the road to Emmaus. And the Bible tells us that while they walked, Jesus spoke with them and talked with them, and then he broke bread with them. And the moment that he did that, the Bible records that their hearts, they said that they realized it was Jesus and he disappeared, and then they said, "Didn't our hearts burn within us?" Amen. I feel like that's such a powerful statement. Yeah. Didn't our hearts burn within you? Amen. Within us. And I feel like if we are in the presence of Jesus, then our hearts should be burning within us. Amen? I mean, were your hearts burning this morning as you're worshiping the King? Did your hearts not burn this morning within you? And then it also tells us that Jesus would appear in the middle of a room with the disciples. Behind locked doors, walls and locked doors, Jesus would just appear in the middle of the room in front of them. I believe with all of my heart, because I get to interpret this the way I want to interpret it, I believe that Jesus just walked right through those walls, and they didn't even see him coming. I believe he doesn't need an unlocked door. He doesn't need an open door. Jesus can just appear right in front of you. Amen. Then it says that one time when he appeared before the disciples, that they were behind locked doors, and it says that he said this. He said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them. He breathed on them. He said, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Amen. Breathe on. This is long before the upper room experience. The upper room would happen 50 days later after the ascension, but Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Can you imagine the power in that breath? That resurrected breath. Every step that Jesus took after resurrection was a step of victory. Before resurrection it was, but there's something about The resurrection power, the resurrected Christ, every step he took was a step of victory. You can read from the time he rose, very early Sunday morning, until he ascended to heaven, it was a journey of victory. It was steps of victory, steps of power, steps of authority. Every step, every time he placed his foot down, everywhere he went, there was an impact. There was a trembling of the enemy. A shaking of the kingdom of darkness. There was an advancing of the kingdom of heaven. Everywhere Jesus went, every step he took, the enemy trembled in fear. Every step he took, the enemy was shaking in his boots. He knew what this resurrected Christ meant for the entire world.
Amen.
The enemy shook with every step that Jesus took. The earth shook with every step that Jesus took. All of creation knew what this meant. All of creation knew what was about to happen. And they were so, creation, the world was so excited that it shook. I believe that when Jesus rose from the grave, I believe the moment that he got up, I believe that very moment the earth shook. There was a great earthquake, the Bible says. I believe it shook because the resurrected Christ was alive. Amen? He was lying, and then he swung his feet around, and when he put his feet down, I believe the earth couldn't take it. It just shook. It knew. The Creator. I mean, think about it, the very stone slab he was laying on and the stone and the dirt that he put his feet on, he created that stone. He created that dirt. He created those trees. He created that big stone that was rolled in front of the tomb. He created all of that. And so the Creator himself put his feet down on his creation with resurrected power, and the earth shook in joy and trembling. Think about it. Walls couldn't keep him out. Doubters couldn't keep him, couldn't doubt any longer. Hearts burned within them. Gravity couldn't keep him down. Nothing could stop the resurrected Christ.
Amen.
Nothing in all of creation. So what I want to ask you today is this. Do we really understand the resurrected Jesus, the power that raised Jesus from the dead? Do we really understand the resurrection power? Do we really grasp it? See, Romans 8:11 says this. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you.
Amen.
Look at somebody and said, he lives in you. Look at somebody and say, he lives in you. It says, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give you a life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit that is living in you. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Now watch this. Verse 19 says, I also pray that you will, what's that say? Understand the incredible greatness of God's power. I also pray that you will understand. Somebody say, God, help me understand. Help me see. Help me know the greatness of your power. I pray that you will understand. I mean, the earth understood the greatness of his power. Creation understood the greatness of his power. But do we understand the greatness of his power? It says, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heavenly realms. Listen, for 4 weeks we've been talking about cross to crown, cross to crown. This is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. He died on the cross. It's the same power that raised him from the dead, and the same power that seated him in the place of honor beside God's throne. Cross to crown. The same power that took Jesus out of that grave took him to the crown. And that same power lives in you and in me. The same power to take us from cross to crown. It doesn't matter what we go through in this life. Oh, I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter how hard it gets. We're going to go from cross to crown because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that lives in us. So we've been in Hebrews chapter 12 for a month, so I thought I would end this today with Hebrews 12, right? This is our fifth week in it. Why not? Let's just stay right there. And if you go to Hebrews 12, verses 18 through 28, I want you to look at that with me. It will be on the screen, but if you have your Bible, you need to see some things here. You're going to want to highlight this. Verse 18 says this, Hebrews 12, 18. It says, you have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and a whirlwind, as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. They staggered back under God's command. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. Moses himself was so frightened at the sight that he said, I am terrified and trembling. No, you have come to Mount Zion. No, you didn't come to a physical mountain. You came to a spiritual mountain. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the righteous, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. Now listen, pay attention to this part of the scripture. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation, somebody raise your hand and say, I'm part of the creation. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. So since we're receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. Listen, what the scripture's telling us is we've not come to a physical mountain like the Israelites did. We've come to a spiritual mountain. We've come to this place from cross to crown, this spiritual place that God led us to, the spiritual Mount Zion. We've come to this, and we are to be shaken until only unshakable things remain. Only unshakable things can remain in the presence of God. Oh, come on, y'all. I said only unshakable things can remain. We have resurrection power. Only unshakable things can stand. If we walk in resurrection power, only unshakable things should live or have life among us. They should only be allowed among us if they're unshakable things. Have you ever walked in a room that had some loose floorboards, that was a little bit unstable? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And maybe you had something there, a table or something, and there was a cup of water sitting there, and if you stomped a little too hard, that water might shake and spill. You know what I'm talking about? You ever done that? You've been in a place like that? You've done that? I was going to give you an illustration this morning because I've done it for 4 weeks straight, but I thought, you know what, this morning, let's just use our imagination. I don't want to take your imagination away from you, give me all these great illustrations I've been giving you, So just think in your mind, if there was a cup of water up here on an unsturdy table, and I just happened to come by with a little bit of force, and that cup of water just spills over. That is what happens when you walk with resurrection power in the spirit realm. every step you take is a step of force and power, resurrection power, so that only unshakable things can remain. Everywhere you go, you're walking with resurrection power. Do you understand the power that lives inside of you today? If it's shakable, it can't stand in your way. If it's shakable, it will be removed, so that only unshakable things are left in your life. That doesn't mean you're not going to go through things, through trials and sufferings. Jesus said we would go through those things. Remember what I said last week. But if we just take a new grip with our tired hands and strengthen our weak knees, we're going to walk with resurrection power like we're meant to walk. The enemy operates through fear and intimidation. The only way he can have success in your life is if he gets you to believe him over the truth of God's word. That's the only way. But if you center yourself in the word of God, and I'm not talking about your version of the word, I'm talking about the word of God, and I'm not talking about what makes you feel good in the word, I'm talking about the word of God. If you'll center yourself in that, because listen, I got to tell you, when I go through some things, God speaks to me through his word some things I don't like to hear. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He tells me some things and I'm like, ooh, I don't want that. I don't want to hear that. No, no, God, no. He says, yes, Bill, yes. Read it again. It's there. That's what I meant by it. No, you couldn't have meant that, God. You couldn't have meant forgive them and love them. You couldn't have meant, God, to just really, unconditional love. You really, what? Let's define unconditional, God. What does unconditional really mean? What it really means? It means what Jesus did for us. While we were yet sinners, while we despised him, while we turned our back on him, while we spit in his face, while we rejected him, while we lived against his will and against his word, he still went to that cross, spread out his arms, and laid down his life for you. Are we willing to do that? Only unshakable things can remain. We should walk with such a spiritual impact that that's all that happens. So what are the shakable things? What are the shakable things in our lives? So there's a lot of shakable things around us in this world, in our lives. Sin, sickness, pain, depression, anxiety, fear, doubt, confusion. I could go on and on and on. But I'm sure of those eight things that I mentioned there, one of them, at least one of them, hit home with you today. Are one of those shakable things in your life today? Is it having a voice in your life? Is it allowed to stand in your life today? If one of those shakable things are allowed to stand, then we need to fully understand the unshakable resurrection power of Jesus Christ that resides in us. He's given us all authority to walk through this world with that same power. Think about this. He trusted you with this power. He trusted you with this power. He said you can handle it. You can walk with it. You can talk with it. You can take it with you because I trust that you're going to use this power.